I was looking to open office in 2009.
So Brian, real quick, to segue onto Joe's comment about keeping that balcony open, that means no park plates out on the balcony, no towels hanging on the railing, it's just to keep it nice looking.
Yes.
Okay. At this time, we close this session and go to a vote. And Leo, could you frame a vote in the affirmative on this matter, please?
Okay. We'll need a motion and a second. It's a preliminary and final major site plan approval. There's some C variances involved. The use is approved from previously. We have the side yard setback on the right side. That's now going to be 0 feet because we're flush against support. We're 4 feet to requirement. Lot coverage, they're at 92%. Will that affect your lot coverage a little bit?
We'll probably go up a couple percentage points because we're moving at a foot.
Right. So 60% is the maximum. You're proposing 92, but I'll note that'll go up a bit because you're moving the building. Correct. I guess extending the building, right? The commercial parking space count, based on retail square footage, it's 33. Zero commercials proposed, but they are compliant with the residential parking. And then the landscape buffer, 3 feet is required, and they're not providing that. In terms of the waivers, I know Roger's got the two street trees, but they're putting those in, correct, Roger?
They're already in,
so they're maintaining those. So I don't think that's a waiver then. There's some checklist items that Roger...
Yeah, the landscape plan is a waiver.
Landscape plan.
Right.
Okay. Note that waiver. And then there's some checklist items that Mr. McLaren itemized in his report to the extent that any of those are necessary. They're just submission waivers. They'll be granted. In terms of conditions, in addition to all our normal standard ones, subject outside approvals and representations made and all those things, I noted that the driveway curb cut on that access easement to the neighboring property owned by the Muskets, that's going to be maintained.
Correct.
Okay, it's on the record. Number two, they're going to attempt to make the curb cut on their property 24 feet wide, but that's going to be subject to the county's approval. And if the county says no, then you're bound by what the county says in terms of the curb cut. You'll work with Mr. McLaren as the proper drainage for the property towards the street. I noted that the building is going to be a 0 foot setback on the right side. There will be no restaurant uses permitted. And then the applicant will make its best efforts to run the utilities underground. And then in terms of the driveway, they're going to do something that some type of color scheme or something that'll notify pedestrians that identify it as a driveway for safety reasons and vice versa. Something that'll notify the owners or the people using the parking spaces that, you know, they're about to cross the driveway. I think that's all I had in terms of conditions. The color schemes, they'll attempt to consult with the city, so you get their input onto that, the city professionals or commissioners. And
calculated the lot coverage would be 93%.
Okay. Lot coverage should be about 93%. Plus or minus, and then if there's nothing else, we need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Have a motion, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second.
We'll have the board administrator call a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Commissioner Langraff?
I support the application. I think this is finally a project that can get built here. Would have loved the beer garden, but I think the neighbors would have had more issues there than we will with residential units and commercial. Really appreciate the parking. I think that's going to be key for the residents to have parking there, at least two spaces per unit. I think that really makes this work to me. the style, stepping it back. Pete, good job with stepping it back in the front and the rear of the building. I think that's a great urban design. It gives relief on that block. The style is going to be different. When I first saw it, I'm like, all right, that's going to be different for Ventnor Avenue. But I think having seen some of the concepts for what's going to happen for the townhomes down on the Professional Plaza, that's going to be behind the old school on New Haven and Troy, those are going to be of similar design. So I think this is going to be a little bit of a theme that's going to change up a little bit on our downtown. So I appreciate that design, and I fully support the project. I think it's going to be a great addition to that, what's been a vacant lot for 20 plus years. So good luck.
Joe Inizelli.
I also support the project. I've been in the fire department more than 20 years, and my whole career has been with the lot. I just think it's about time. It's a good design.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote in favor of the project. First of all, I think it's going forward into making the city stronger and enforcing the master plan itself. It's taken an area that was and was at one time replacing buildings that were completely out of date at the time when the fire occurred, and they were in volume of say 12 units plus below, all kinds of old-fashioned framing and design and so on, and bringing in a new concept that's not seen in the city very often, of a different storefront, a modern storefront that everyone can take a look at and begin to, so I call it a motivation project, if you will. And hopefully this will spur more development within the city. But the concept they're doing as far as bringing in the enough residential parking for the, it's a constant use, aiding the back of the building and have a proportion of residential to commercial can make this building a success. Where other buildings sometimes are not. So economic viability becomes a factor here. And I think they have this design works to the economic viability and to the benefit of our master plan. It also then, also perhaps can increase the future of us developing shoulder seasons and other things that we want to make the town, again, more financially viable. So yeah, I vote in favor.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I believe the variances are warranted based on site conditions. It's good to have two people representing the neighbors come forward and giving their presentation. It's important for us to make a decision. I wasn't at the meeting in August of 2019, so I didn't have an opportunity to vote on it, but I do have it tonight, and I'm supporting the project.
Dan Smith III.
Well, it's been a long time, and I hope this is the charm here. I think it is. I think you have a good group of developers who will get the job done in a very presentable way. I like the plan. The parking is a key component to the residential side. The stores will just be, they'll be fine. It's nice to see the neighbors come out and speak their mind about the project. I don't see any negative comments of any kind, and I think it'll be successful. It'll be good for the city, like Jay said. Shoulder seasons are kind of critical to the viability of the commercial establishments along there. So I'm in favor of it, and I wish you luck.
Mike Wiesen.
I had given up after 2 years of having beer in the beer garden. So this plan is great. I like the mixed use part of it because it creates more people in the area and walking around and enjoying our fine city. I'd like the beginning timeframe, that they put a timeframe on, starting in May. Pete did a great job designing this, and John presented well, and Brian, you're always good. The sprinklers, I love the sprinklers part. I like that we have more parking. I like there was no opposition from the neighbors. And last of all, I'm glad you put into the ordinance or the variance that there'll be no towels hanging on the $1 million-plus house. I'm in favor of it, of course.
Peter Taco.
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I think that the variances are warranted. Whenever you have a project of this scope on property of that size, you're going to have some variances. I think the relief is warranted. I do appreciate that the design is sympathetic to the parking situation down there, and I think the design has also addressed, you know, a lot of the concerns that everyone associated with it would have: the trash, the parking, the egress. So I think it's a good project. Third time I've seen it, hopefully third time in charge.
Tim Coop.
I also support the application. I think the plan supports the overall master plan vendor. It's a good balance between residential and commercial use and offers parking. And I think the benefits to the city justify the variances, which really is, you know, is needed, as this is a bit of a challenging lot. So good luck, and I look forward to seeing you.
Greer Gaskell.
I also vote yes. I believe the project is pleasing to the eye. I don't think we put anything else there that would have any value. And I think we go to the neighborhood, the businesses. And it's we have to put up with the neighborhood laws.
Yes.
It's not going to work.
That's exactly.
Thank you very much. For some strange reason, you have a unanimous vote. So, yeah, we're doing very well. Congratulations. Mr. Corson, Mr. Muskett, thank you very much for appearing this evening and coming out with your time. It's appreciated your participation.
Chairman, we need the last application to make the news fair from the step aside.
By the record, we'd like to Commissioner Randy Ash is on the second side, not the news fair.
I think it was a list.
Brian, did you?
We're going to send it
outside. Brian, could you get Blair and Sully just for a second to say something? Could you get Blair and Sully? Blair and Sully.
Could you bring Blair? I'm going to get Blair and somebody else.
Sully, come on. Thank you for your presentation of the job. Glad to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for good time for the project.
Thank you.
Lovely night. Take care.
They're coming.
I think Blair was part of it. I don't think so. And I think they maybe still be part of it. But they're in different things. We're going to do a brief preamble with this first, and then we'll swear everybody in first. Brief preamble, and then it's all yours.
Okay. Start the preamble, or do you want Lockie to go first?
We'll swear everybody in first.
Okay. So, I'm Eric Goldstein. I'm here for the application of Tim Tonsesson, LLC, 6 North Portland. To my right is Robert Lolio. He's our architect. To my left is John Barnhart, our engineer and planner. So we should probably get them sworn in now. Mr. Manos, if you don't mind.
Sure, Mr. Lollio, just give us your name and business address, please.
Robert Lollio, 219 Bellevue Avenue, Hamilton, New Jersey.
Okay, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay. And John, are you in this one? And,
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, and we know you're, accepted as a planner and engineer. Mr. Lollio is accepted as an architect.
Please.
Okay.
Okay, good. So, getting right into it again, Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicant. We have reviewed and we agree, of course, with Mr. McLarnon's report dated February 8th. This is a D use variance, which with regard to all of the bulk standards complies or more than complies with both Mr. Lollio and Mr. Barnhart are going to testify to in just a few minutes. What we have is a unique development. We talk about the neighborhood development pattern, and more importantly, the requirement of the D variance that the site is particularly well suited for this project. John prepared an exhibit, which he's going to go through in a minute, which shows the street and how the multifamily development, oddly enough, of this particular block is overwhelmingly either duplexes or a couple triplexes. There are some singles as well. A single is permitted. This lot is significantly oversized, and what we're asking for is to keep with the development pattern of this block of Portland Avenue and for the D variance for the use only. We don't need any other bulk variances. We don't need setbacks. We don't need side yards. Roger's report walks through. We have more than enough parking. We're talking about, you know, the last application parking is tight in this situation. We have more than enough, but we're only allowed a single and we want two units here. So I'm going to ask John to testify first. He's been sworn in. He has exhibits, one of which I'm just going to grab with us, which a little hard to see from back there. So if you want the board members, I can pass this around. This is the street inventory on Portland. But the subject, we want that to be, of course, a duplex. We've got a triplex and a duplex spanning it. Duplex and duplex at 1 and 3 and at 7. 9 and 11 are duplexes as well. 15 is a single and there's a duplex there. So almost the entirety of the other side of the street is multifamily. On our side, we've got triplex. What we'd like to be a duplex, duplex, single, duplex, single, single, duplex, and then a duplex across the street. This block, the development pattern is such that we believe, and John's going to testify to this as a planner, that the development pattern is better off as a duplex than as a single. Would the board members like me to pass this around, or is it okay if we just put it up in front of John? What's your preference? John, you don't mind this morning. You've done the work to prepare for this evening. We have, of course, a Lollio-designed Barnhart-planned project, but you know, we do need to satisfy the positive and negative of the, D. And just so we're clear here, I know I talked to Carmel earlier, we do have seven members who are going to be able to vote on this evening, and that we need five affirmative votes in order for this to pass. So John, if you don't mind, take it away.
Sure. So as Eric already described, I have in front of you right now the exhibit that is actually marking two. A1, which we marked previously prior or last month when we were a Gunner Star, and everything. A1 is just the submitted application form, which I'll be using as well. So, as Eric identified, we took a look at the property at the bottom. I'm going to turn over to A1 for a second. Our specific piece of property is a 50 foot wide lot, it's 150. It's a 7,500 square foot lot, which is more effective than part of the lot, especially on the side. So what we have, or all we had on the property, was a single family home, and certainly not compliant with regard to flood, with regard to current building codes and such. The proposal is to redevelop that property as a two-unit building. The two-unit building as proposed will comply with all the standards. You can see the large rear yards of each one of the units. The side yards will comply, the front yards will comply, coverage and setbacks, coverage and heights are all intended to comply. The issue is that it's not permitted because we are the R7 zoning district, and there are 50-foot lots. But the interesting thing about this specific piece of property, and this goes to why we think the application justified, is that in the R7 zone, you could develop a single-family home on a 2,000 square foot lot. You can develop a two-unit building on a 3,125 square foot lot. We have 7,500 square foot. So we essentially have. Did I say that wrong? The lot area for two families is 3,125. Right. So essentially what we have, if you look at it from a single-family detached perspective, we have enough land area for three units. There are 7,500 square foot lots. So each individual single-family home requires 2,200 square feet apiece, or 2,000 square feet apiece, three units is 6,000 square feet. We have almost enough land area from a density perspective for four residential units.
Yeah, but you don't have enough frontage.
No, I understand. I'm just talking about from a land area perspective.
Okay.
John's going to show how much overly broad this lot is, so big that we could put so much more on it. But the developer, who's done a number of great projects in town, saw fit to do less than that and just go with the two units. So I think what John's getting at is, and I don't want to interrupt, but I am, this is so much better than your average vendor lot. Because it's big, because it's deep, because we could do so much more, but we're actually doing much less than otherwise would be allowed.
Yeah, so where I was going with that is we need to justify why two units is appropriate on this lot, because two units, because of our lot width, puts us into an e-variance condition. So what I'm trying to explain is that we have a very large lot. It's only 50 feet deep or 50 feet wide, but it's 150 feet deep. So lots of this size in the R7 zone, we believe, warrant more than just a single family home. And if you look at the way that this block is developed, it's left for one of them. There's a bunch of other lots on this block, and they are, the majority of them are existing multifamily homes. What I mean by that is, if I start at the corner of Winchester and Portland, and we've got a duplex on the corner, and then we've got two singles. But if you look at the tax map, those two singles are on very small lots. They're not on a lot of this size. Then you get to a large lot with a duplex. Then we have a little more single, then we have a duplex next to us, then our lot. Then on the other side of us is a triplex. If we go directly across the street from us, we have another duplex. And then heading back up to Winchester, another duplex. One more single, and then another duplex. We didn't take into account what these were in front of Winchester Avenue. But you have a preponderance of multifamily buildings on the block. So because of the fact that we have a lot that is largely oversized for the R7 zoning district, and because of the pattern of development of this specific block, we believe that our request to develop two units on this piece of property is very, very much appropriate. From a municipal land use perspective, how do we justify that? Well, we believe that this is, for the purpose of zoning things, are very simple in that this is an establishment of an appropriate population density, which is a specific purpose of zoning in the municipal land use law. When you have a property zone this size and it's compatible with its surroundings, we believe that allowing it to be developed as two units is absolutely an appropriate population density for this specific parcel. If we were up the street a little bit and we were to tear down this single family house at 28 North Portland, the size of that lot, in our opinion, doesn't warrant what we are requesting. But because of the size of this lot and the surrounding patterns, we can I think there are other purposes on the application as well. I think that the site is particularly well suited for this use because of the size of it again. It's close to the promotion of the animal welfare. I think that you're creating a more desirable visual environment and creating climate techniques. This is the one that has developed a very beautiful system that will be very, very much compatible with the neighborhood and have to hopefully enhance the neighborhood with that. We believe that there will be more free flow of traffic. Although we are promoting proposal two units where only one is committed, we have all parking meeting requirements of those two units. Certain condition, the site of both pedestrian and vehicles, meets all the municipal ordinances. So we believe that purpose is only is also advanced. The real key to an application like this, in our opinion, is negative side, negative criteria. Is there a substantial detriment to the zone player's zoning ordinance? Is the first comment, you know. We believe that there is not. With regard to the zoning ordinance, you can see from this group of planners report that all of the bulk standards are being met with the application. So what really we're just talking about the use condition. On a different block, this might not be an easy argument to make. On this specific block, we think that this fits in very, very well. And I go to it again, it's all about the size of the land. When you look at your R7 zoning district and you look at how it's developed and the amount of land there you need to have a residential unit on it, and then you look at this parcel that's 7,500 square feet, to think that it's only permitted to have one residential unit on it, it's really out of character with the R7 zone. R7 zoning lots are much, much smaller than that, all over the district. So to think that because of the width of this lot, it only be one single family home, and it happens to be among a bunch of multifamily buildings, it really does not make a lot of practical sense. We think this development makes more sense for this specific parcel. So for those reasons, we believe that there is no substantial detriment to the zoning ordinance. With regard to the public good, is there a substantial detriment to the public? We are meeting the setbacks of the ordinance. We are providing the appropriate parking. We have more than adequate rear yard setbacks to keep away from our neighbors to the rear. We are complying with setbacks on both sides. We have nice ample rear yards. We are meeting the coverage requirements. We will make sure the spill water is addressed and sent out to Portland Avenue. We are meeting the height requirements. We are obviously trash is addressed by way of the garage spaces or garage areas. So there, by adding additional units to the site, we believe that there really are no impacts that create a substantial negative to the public good, and this application would only be a benefit to the town. So those reasons we believe that the positive and negative criteria are meant to be application and the variance can be granted.
Thank you, John. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call Mr. Lolio, but I just wanted to say if the board has questions for John, we would reserve the right to recall him. Once again, what the city is getting out of this is a new flood-compliant property, off-street parking that exceeds the requirements for the bedroom count. So any concern of excess cars, excess flood water, it's not on this property at all. And again, you're getting someone who's going to build the property with a proven track record in town. I'm going to have Bob walk through the actual house itself, how it's been designed, and then I guess we'll have a few more questions and go back and forth a little bit. All right, Bob, if you don't mind, you heard what John had to say. Obviously, he discussed the D variance and the aspects of it being particularly well-suited for two units instead of one. But walk us through your design and the fact that not only does this house meet vendors' bulk standard, but in some respects, greatly exceeds setbacks, especially in the rear, and we're under on coverage and everything else. And of course, the fact that we're over parking.
So it's a two-unit townhouse. Each unit is about 3,000 square feet. It's your typical 2.5-story over a parking and building access level. So overall, 4 stories, but by building code, it's 2.5 stories. The building coverage, I just want to mention, is at 30%, 60% is allowed. So we could have actually doubled the size of this one on this lot. Even if it was a single family, it's still big, twice the size of this single story. The other thing I want to mention is there's only 4 bedrooms, so we have 3 parking spaces. 2 will be required. We had an extra spot, so we have 2 in the garage, 1 outside the driveway for each unit. We have a total of 6 parking spots for the lot. I believe what John said, that it fits the context of the neighborhood, the fabric of the neighborhood, the amount of duplexes on the street, I know I just said it's getting more important, just completed not too long ago, so, it seems to be the direction that these size lots, everybody wants to really seem to work for, and we've got all the owners. And it seems, I mean, we're doing a lot of townhouses and that right now, so I think it's getting, just, development pattern in the case. And then, as you can see, we have a lot of rear yard space, large pools, each separate three unit. And Kevin mentioned everything else that don't get covered. And lot coverage will let all of it do. 75% required, 70%, that's what the large patio people would miss, so we have plenty of place to park.
Now, I submit this is your classic D variance, where you have a real reason to change the use on this one specific property. A single would be nice, of course, it would be a very, very large single, maybe with enough bedrooms that we'd probably still be, possibly underparked. Here you've got, the house blends in well with what's built around it, it's probably gonna remain for a significant amount of time. Mr. Barnhart put on the positive and negative for the D, Bob described the property, this is your textbook D use variance on a lot that more resembles multifamily with what surrounds it than the single. I will certainly answer any questions the board has, we don't wanna belabor this point. We do agree with Roger's report, again, I think we've heard fairly good testimony from a couple of the best professionals there are, and, you know, I can't belabor this point enough, you're getting one of the best builders in town now, who's doing great work, I just see this as being a benefit that far outweighs any possible negative, but, of course, we'll answer questions as the board sees fit.
Bob, the, 17, that was a duplex. I'm very familiar with that.
It was, well, it's townhouse side by side.
Yeah, but it was zoned duplex, was it?
There was.
Existing two family? Yeah. But this, I mean, this is the same lot, and.
Same lot size.
Yeah, and it, I mean, the concept of the pools and everything, it makes for a, unbelievable enclave for people with that size lot.
Portland's become a pretty cool street, because you've got the area where this is, you go towards the beach, you've got the new development on the, you go down, you have the new townhomes, then you have the singles on the right, across Atlantic, on Atlantic, so this fits in well, not only with this block, but with the historic development, I would say over the past, right before COVID, 2018, on the homes that were built on the corner of Portland and Atlantic, so this continues that all the way down, so we think this is, again, it fits in very well.
In the lot itself, how did you, arrive at, the, well, you say that the, all these properties were built and they exist, but when were they built? You say it's a developmental pattern, but are these, buildings that are there, how long have they been there, and when were they built, under what ordinances were they built?
On the present block, or as, on the other stuff we just talked about?
You cited all these duplexes in this site, in this lot.
Oh, on this block, okay.
Developmental pattern, so to speak.
But developmental pattern doesn't necessarily mean applicability just moved up, it's a pattern what exists on the block as well. And the issue would be with those developments, I mean, just being honest, none of those properties, even if they do reconstruct, the likelihood of them giving up on the density that exists on their lots is very, very low. So even if you have duplexes, even if they're older, those redevelopments are gonna come back in requesting to be a duplex again.
I understand that, but I'm asking you when they were built.
Well, I don't have the years to be.
I mean.
Do you know which of those are new construction?
Yeah, we know 17.
One of our properties right here.
I, other than the corner, I never.
So we know that, and of course.
Number one, number three, and number 17 are relatively new construction. And they are all duplexes.
okay, almost exactly.
And the yellow ones are noted in the new construction. On your narrative.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So one and three, they used to be in the commercial zone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, the building work. One and three.
Yeah, this, in that block, there's six units. The four in the corner, and then two down further.
The three are on the corners, and then the other building, they're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's six new units right there in that block right now.
Correct.
On the, not on the, on the mixed-in side of the, of the street.
Right, I designed one, three, and seven, two.
Yeah, well, there's six units there.
Right.
The four unit building.
That's why I.
And then there's a, I know you did that. And the, and then two down for the new, near, closer to Winchester Avenue.
Correct.
And that would be it. And there, so.
So there's really no constraints to prevent a luxurious, beautiful, architectural, single-family home to be built on it and have a nice extensive amount of open space in the back?
No, of course not. And that's always the case, that we're here because we need something. If we would build it by right, we could build a significantly large single, which.
And it's a unique situation not to use the entire, to make it as big as possible.
My concern would be that a lot of what has become duplexes predate the newest master plan, which really talks about trying to reduce density. To me, this is an application where we're increasing density needlessly, so.
And Mr. Zavick, you're correct about that, because we could build a one and we go into two. But I think, as John says, if this lot were more in line with the lots further up, which are smaller, this would be a much more difficult sell. Because this is so generous and oversized, this is, again, that classic D variance. This is the outlier lot that's now a single that really should be a duplex. A couple of the others might not work, because they're a lot smaller, but this one, based solely on its, again, back in time and see how these lots were created with it, cut from other lots, because some are smaller, some are much, much smaller. And how did this one get such a large land mass? If you go back and look at the original maps, you probably could tell. But this is so uniquely situated, and as John said, the D standard is this particularly well suited? That's our buzzword to get the D variance. Now, the question for the board is, has nothing, respectfully to Bob, to do with this design, because the design meets or exceeds all of the bulk variance. The question is this site, in its entirety, on this block, particularly well suited for duplex rather than a single, or rather than a triplex? And I guess that's the question the board has to answer in order to get this approved.
John?
Yeah,
good.
What was the width on one and three?
The depth and the width, if you know the width.
So, 17 looks like the exact same lot that can buy 150.
Yeah.
One and three were not nearly as deep.
Yeah, they were 110.
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah, minus.
What's the width?
100.
Yeah.
Can you see
what's that?
The width's the same.
Hey Siri, open by the bar.
You mean?
Yeah, they were 100.
Right.
And so their widths would have been on this 160, so the
62.
They were 58 feet.
63, 58 feet wide.
Well, 60 feet.
Well, off of this plan, it shows 116.
Yeah, you're right, so it's like the wrong way. Yes, it's 50, yeah, 50.
Yeah, 50.
158, that's correct. Yeah.
I don't know if the corner was not a little larger.
It might have been. But the depth on those, on the, on one and three, these lots were 100 feet.
Right.
And if you, I don't remember if they were broken out in the, they were broken out even then, it reached 58 wide. So this one is 50 wide and which, by one.
Yeah.
But these two small, 58 by 100, you know, each have a duplex on it, correct? That's correct, so the 5,800 square foot lot versus our 7,500. That's, and that's okay. And, the question is always, yeah, reduction in density, is that a better plan? But the key I think here is that in the R7 district, you anticipate moving on a 2,000 square foot lot, you have 7,500 square feet in here. It's the width of the lot that creates a situation that we can't, can't apply to the ordinance.
Well, here's the dilemma here, is, there was a moratorium put on duplexes in 1998. And then everyone had to apply for a CNC. That was the request that was done. And, so that occurred, and we really haven't had any duplex more, regulation, put in our zone anywhere in the city, if I'm not mistaken, without either conditional use or a use that was generated through the old improvement authority that came about in the, up in the north section. So, to my knowledge, am I correct in this, Roger, that we have nowhere in the city, an ordinance that actually, other than a conditional use or, that grants, a new duplex anywhere, other than a replacement of one that has a CNC?
That's correct.
That is the ordinance of the city of Ventnor. And that has been that way since 1998.
But there's also been the flexibility of this board, which is what has taken the city of Ventnor in such a wonderful direction from a development perspective.
Well, I understand that.
And a lot of that is a result of multifamily construction.
I understand that. Now, the other question becomes is, what the board is that our master plan gives it, the zone, what it is supposed to be now in here. Now, if you use the term "we believe," is the case, but what is the requirement of the board, to the board? With, and this is a topic that has come up before us many times, is what happens now is that there's a deviation, they're saying, well, okay, we can't conform, we want to use variance for this, but the ordinance completely states that they don't want it, that it doesn't comply. And, period. And you can't meet any of the requirements of the ordinance.
Well, I respectfully disagree, Mr. Chairman, because we meet every single requirement of the development ordinance. We need one specific thing, which is a two-family structure. And under most circumstances, everything they're saying is correct, but this lot is an outlier. You know, this is the lot, and if there's going to be a variance, it complies with everything else, and more than complies, again, based on Roger's report, I'm sure.
But they don't comply, because they don't have the frontage.
What?
They don't have the frontage.
Really?
They have the frontage.
They have a.
They have more than enough of everything.
25,000.
They don't have a great deep frontage.
No.
What was, seven, what's the 17th lot size? It's the same as, it's same as, same as six, right?
Exactly, lot. No, we have no frontage, Mr. Cook.
So you're going as a condominium, not a subdivision?
Oh, no.
No, it's.
This is not a subdivision.
Okay, you're going as a condo.
Single structure on one lot, which will be duplex form of ownership. We are not having this in hand. So just to be clear, we need no variances for dimensional land use, just the use itself. The is on the top of Roger's report.
Right.
And again, so we're clear, everything else more than exceeds, I mean, I don't know many places where you're gonna have a building setback in the rear of 67 feet. This structure in and of itself so much exceeds the front setback, 12 is required, we're at 18. We don't want to max out the property. And then look, there was some discussion early on, which is relevant to this board, trying to put three there, which we still have more than enough overall lot area to put three. So two, you know, triplex next to us on the lot as well. Two is by far less than this lot can handle. But the developer is being reasonable and seeks only the use variance and nothing else. So I don't want this board to vote, but it's fairly important. It's to be voted on a subdivision. This is not a subdivision. It's a two-lot structure where only one use for a single would be allowed. I mean, a two-family structure where one family would be allowed, not two lots. See, I'm on the same page.
Okay.
I had to remind
them for a second. All right.
So that's it.
Roger, you reviewed this whole thing. What does your review say?
In a nutshell, the ordinance says that for conditional use for a duplex to be constructed, an existing two-family or duplex has to exist with a certificate non-conforming. They obviously don't have a certificate non-conforming because a single family home exists. So therefore, the use. They can't meet those conditions.
That's it. And that is the only thing stopping.
Correct.
Okay. Board members? Any comments?
Well, I think if development standpoint, and looking at 17, which was an existing duplex that they tore down and built two condos, it's like a magnificent development, and it's just basically two single families. I mean, they've got these huge pools, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I live right behind you. I live on 6306 Winchester, which my backyard abuts 17. I watched them build it. The existing duplex that was there, it was only occupied by one family. Not that matters here or there, but yeah, like Dan said, it's the same exact lot. That is a beautiful building. I saw the other one get knocked down. I saw that one get built brick by brick, and it's a beautiful building.
And a lot of times you look at what's been built, and you'll say, well, is this going to be the same? You got the same architect and a better builder, so you're going to get a better product at 6 than it is at 17.
Well, I think this is a point of wisdom that it comes down to in here. And I think it might be advisable. I mean, that's how I class it, is you have ordinances, you have things, and it's a point of wisdom, which way you anticipate things. Because in one way you're going backwards, the other way you're going forward.
But I'm going to respectfully disagree, Mr. Chairman. I think this is only going forward. Because what you're doing here is you're getting rid of a non-flood compliant structure. You're going to replace that with two new habitable units on one lot. From a tax perspective, you're going to have much more money coming into the city as a result of this than what's there now. From an aesthetic standpoint, you're going to get a much better product. You're going to get off-street parking. The lot itself isn't even nearly covered enough on the lot coverage and the building coverage. So I would respectfully say that this is the case. This is the law school question. What constitutes the proper D variance and how should it be granted? What you've got is all of these.
I would say the argument you just made is the argument I would make for a single family house. that that is a perfect lot for a beautiful, luxurious architectural model for the city, because it meets all the requirements. What we're trying to do is put two units where one belongs. That's it.
But the issue with that is again, is its surroundings. Yeah, is it realistic that somebody's going to take a 7,500 square foot lot and invest into that?
I would say, I don't want to get into a, you know, digress, but I think mistakes were made in the past. That area should not have had duplexes, two families, years ago. It was not properly zoned, and because of that, developments like what we have now exist, but they shouldn't have been there. We should have had houses more comparable to what's in St. Michael's Tract. Those lots are that kind of lots that should have been there. But because it was zoned in 7, things were allowed.
Can we do one thing here? I like to open to the public. And I think they deserve to be heard from. Did anyone in the public wish to make comment before this course? Ma'am, please come forward. Be sworn. State your name, please. Thank you for coming.
Name and address, please.
Ramona Borgata, 6408 Winchester.
60. Your last name, I'm sorry.
Bregatta.
Ramona?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Ms. Borgata, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay. Thank you.
So I wasn't privy to the plans, so I do have a couple of questions that I kind of tried to grab what everyone was talking about. How many parking spaces are there?
Six.
Six parking spaces. And what side of the street is the parking on? Is it on Portland or is it on Winchester?
Portland. Here, I'll show you. Come here. Come on. Great. Because right now our driveway is here on Winchester. That's what I'm asking. The driveway is on.
That's
Portland.
Sorry.
Sorry. Winchester.
Well, I'm
back.
He backs up to me.
Is
Brian.
I'm
6408
Winchester. Oh, I apologize. Okay, so they told me that this tonight was there was another one for 6408 on the corner of Winchester and Portland.
Well, while you're here, yes. What do you think of this project?
Well, I'll be honest, I'm disappointed with all the runoff that is going to happen from a lot of these big buildings that are going up. The other issue I have, and no offense, it's not, you know, I'm just worried about I live in a 1920s three-bedroom home, which is historically, I've tried to maintain the historical perspective. So I appreciate the comment of, you know, homes that are keeping to the historic nature of Ventnor. Yeah.
Homes that are maintained are welcome in this city. And the board has in the past talked about that. And not everything gets replaced, and not everything gets knocked down. It's your home. You do what you want with it. It's your castle.
Can I just ask what happened with the? It was supposed to be rescheduled for tonight. 6408, or actually Portland, the corner of Portland and Winchester. I called today and they told me.
I'm not sure what application you're referring to. What?
I got a certified letter, so I was told that that corner lot was being torn down on March 6th.
You mean 30 yes. North? That has been postponed. That you shouldn't have received a letter that it was on for tonight.
I received a letter, and it was last Tuesday with the snow, and I called to say, did it get rescheduled? And they said yes.
That was this one.
And it was for
6 North.
No, I had inquired about the
then
one.
We miscommunicated.
Okay, I spoke with you.
Yes.
Okay, I apologize. My comments have nothing to do with
this. I assumed it was this Portland Avenue, not 30.
30. So is 30 off the...
Yes.
Okay, so can they knock down 30? Apparently it's supposed to be scheduled to be torn down.
Yeah. They
told me the 6th of March.
They have not requested to come back to the board as of yet, so.
And can they tear, they can't tear down without?
Well, they can if they go get building permits and they're approved.
Okay, so I apologize for taking the time of the board.
Thanks for coming.
And I sat here all that time thinking it was the corner. Okay, thank you.
Some people do anything for a night out, what can I tell you?
Yeah, no. All right, good night, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Good luck.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak before the board?
Can I talk real quick?
Yes, you can.
My name's Timothy Tonsession. I live at 55 Waterford Road, Hamilton, New Jersey.
Mr. Tonsession, I just got to get you sworn in. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, you're obviously the principal of the LLC with the same official name.
So, over the past 2 years, I just want to give a list of the houses that were duplexes that I turned into single families. 105 North Sacramento, 6223 Winchester, 22 North Wissahickon, 17 North Richards, 28th North Weymouth, and I just finished a project on 126 North Portland. So this is the first time I'm asking to go the other way and build a duplex, but you know, I take pride in my work. I love the town. I mean, I just bought a house in Atlantic City, so I am moving down here full time. I just wanted you to take that into consideration. I did do six, you know, I did move six duplexes into single family. So I understand, you know, and I'm working on, we're getting ready to submit on Avalon as well. So I own a house on North Avalon as well.
You're my business possession. You did some nice stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I've been building for 45 years, and I know what good stuff is.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
With the work you've done, you have been reinforcing our intent with the master. So thank you.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Now, I just want to make something clear, because I don't want the record to be a little bit off.
Well, before we do that, we're still in open session.
Oh, okay.
Ma'am, do you wish to speak?
No, I'm a current member of
Sister
Portland Avenue. It is
probably the come up. Come on. Don't be bashful.
If you want to talk, you have to come up to the mic and they'll swear you.
Don't be bashful.
Yeah, I have lived there for 25 years.
Give us your name and address.
My name is Regina Walls Denoto, and I'm currently the owner of 6 North Portland Avenue.
And you swear to tell the truth?
I swear to tell the truth, right. Yes. So, yeah, I have mixed feelings about selling it, too, because it is from the 1920s, and I've done a lot of work. I put a lot of money into it that, you know, it's sort of sad, you know. But in any case, I have another house down the street, my grandmother's house, so my husband passed on, and it'll be, you know, really just a financial thing for me. My children are grown, and I don't need that big piece of property to maintain it or whatever. It is a nice piece of property, though. It really is, in Ventnor. You know, and it's been nice. Great location. I think either way, but there are, everybody else has duplex. Next to me, he's a triplex. He's the same size. The other side, they're duplex. So everybody is a duplex already.
Are you moving right down the street on Portland Avenue?
I'm moving right down the street. I moved right up the street 25 years ago from my grandmother's house up the street to that. Now I'm moving right back down to my
And how do house. You, how do you feel about it becoming from single family to it?
Well, it's a little sad, but I don't think I could walk by it and see it there and give it up, really. You know, I mean, I even have mixed things. If they told me no, I'd just stay there and figure it out. You know, I'm not totally, you know, booked on it, even though I should be or whatever. But, you know, it's just...
Are you saying you don't hate the idea of two properties on there?
No, I don't. I don't, okay. I don't want to go... I don't
stop
go,
talking.
Stop talking. Okay. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Okay. I guess there's no one left, so... at this point, does anyone wish to speak?
I'd like to finish up a little bit. I would like to finish up, please.
Pardon?
I would like to finish up, please.
Close the public session.
Okay.
Public session is now closed.
Okay. Here's what we have, because we got a little bit off track a couple times. It's not a subdivision. One lot. It's going to remain one lot. There'll be two families living there. Let's be clear about that. Next, respectfully to the nice woman who spoke against a project that may or may not even exist, she was not against this project. So what you have are zero members of the public against the project. You've got testimony from a licensed professional planner and engineer that this meets the criteria for the D variance. There's been no contravention of Mr. Barnhart's testimony. You've got the testimony of Mr. Lolio describing the property going from a non-flood compliant property to a flood compliant property that more than exceeds all of our possible concerns regarding lot coverage, building coverage, drainage, runoff, and parking. There's been no evidence presented, other than a couple questions from the board, that would go against the applicant's request for the D variance. So our goal was to present a case that was pretty ironclad, and I think we've more than done that tonight. Of course, board members have questions. Why would you allow this to become a two-family where one is allowed? That is the very reason you're all here tonight. You're charged with forcing the New Jersey municipal land use law along with Ventnor Zone Code. Ventnor Zone Code does not allow for a two-unit structure there unless we have a certificate of nonconformity. Had this been a duplex years ago and we had that piece of paper, we wouldn't be here. Had the applicant sought to build three instead of two units, we'd be asking for more. We think this project, based on, again, the only professional credible testimony that's been presented, meets your code, meets the state of New Jersey municipal land use law, and we think there's no reason to vote no on this. Of course, every board member has their own opinion, but we want that opinion to be based correctly on what we've presented. The neighbors were noticed, nobody showed up against it, because most of the neighbors are living in multifamily structures. We would rest, the board has any questions, but we need five affirmative votes, and we think that this warrants the D variance. If the board has further questions, we'd like to answer them, but...
Roger, do you report?
No, Roger's report is super clear. It's one thing. It's the D.
Roger's report, right?
We agree with it.
Okay.
Any conditions, any... You know, well, again, this structure is so much more conforming than it needs to be that I think the developer should be lauded for this. He's done a proposal that gives the city a flood compliant, drainage compliant, parking compliant structure, which we don't see all that often. Okay.
Are you complete?
Yes.
Okay. At this time, board members, any further questions of the applicant or the professionals here? Then we're going to go to a vote. Now, do you have a preference on how the vote is conducted? As one vote?
Mostly yes votes would be good, but I need five, not just four. So, yes, five affirmative votes.
There's only one thing we're voting on is the use area.
It's just the D, so correct.
We have no choice but to do that. So, Leo is going to frame a motion, please, in the affirmative.
Sure. We're in the R7 zone, so we're asking for a use variance for a two-family dwelling side by side, where they're not permitted in the R7 zone. So it's a use variance. Again, five affirmative votes required. There's no real specific conditions other than the standard ones. Anything in Roger's report, subject to any outside approvals that may be necessary. Yeah, the Rogers report's pretty clear that the home itself complies with all law requirements, so it's just the use variance that is required. So we need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
And just one quick question, Mr. Mattis, before. I know it's a D, and I've not done a D in quite some time here. Who doesn't get to vote? Because I just noticed we have too many. There's more than enough. I was worried there wouldn't be enough, so I guess...
Yeah, so the first seven, I guess, on the list, Commissioner Kriegel's not, or Mayor Kriegel's not here, so he wouldn't be able to vote anyway, and Commissioner Landgraf left, so the Class 3 one membership.
I don't know if Joe can vote this, because he's
a... Yeah, he can.
He can, okay. So then
we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. We have nine I believe the two alternates are, or the last two, we wouldn't get the vote.
We have a list, we use the basements, seniority is becoming.
Okay, and then,
It's not an arbitrary list, it's a list of date of entry.
Yeah, so the alternates part, as usual, they participate, but when it comes to the vote, we preserve the 5 out of 7.
Sure.
All right, so we need a motion, and did someone make the motion? I don't.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, have a roll call vote, please. State your reasons.
Chair Iannuzzelli?
I, like I stated earlier, I live directly behind 17, and this looks like it's going to be the exact same thing as 17. I've seen the work you guys have done. I'm 6223. I'm diagonally right across from you. Beautiful job. I was kind of hoping you guys would move in there. I saw you walking your dog through your neighborhood. This is not a building that's going to be out of place on this street. Like I said, the building right on the street is what it's going to be exactly the same. I think it adds to the neighborhood. It is a huge lot. The town is changing, whether we like it or not. The town is changing, and more of these are going up. They're not, the majority of them are not year-round residents, so they don't put that, they don't tax the services that much. So for those reasons, and a few more I can state, but I vote yes.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes on this particular project. After going through, reviewing the logic of the whole thing, and then looking at the neighborhood itself, some of the problems that they're associated with the density factors of duplexes in other parts of the city are not as apparent down in this area. The success has been in that particular block of these properties, perhaps generating more interest in development of them. However, I will stress that my vote is not one of precedence, not one of endorsement of this practice. And in fact, it's a practice of only trying to deploy wisdom here, that you have a good project in a location where there's been six other projects already that have been successful and compatible, and they're similar design with the architect. That means it, there's a better chance of success. And so the reasons I'm voting for it, it does not meet the master plan as far as I'm concerned, and does not meet the intent. But however, I think it's a point where it's a classic case of the various being employed.
Thank you.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I vote no on the application. We're reinforcing a progression of housing that has been built over the years that I think is inappropriate for the area. And I don't like going from a single family to a two family. I think it's wrong. It goes against the intent of the master plan, which is trying to reduce density in the city. We allowed 3 apartments in the application before, so we're adding units. So it's not that we're against growth, but in this case, I don't think it's appropriate. So no.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think that what the use, the two-family use there, has no negative impacts. You have 30% lot coverage. You have you have to figure that you have a economic component to our master plan, and this would fulfill that amazingly. We also have a flood compliant new structure, which is one of the goals of our master plan as well. And I just don't see anything negative about it. When you go look at 17, which I think everybody should do, and Joe looks at it every day, so, I mean, it's like, it's a perfect fit for a 7,500-foot lot. So I agree with Jay that, you know, we're taking a single-family home and voting on a D variance. But in this case, I think...